Uka chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka.
Smartphones at Hogwarts. All right, so first the solid speculation. I believe that a smartphone would work perfectly fine at Hogwarts. It just wouldn't get any signal and probably no internet. Yeah, right. I've read The Seven Prince of the Seven Prince of Amber series, or in Amber, whatever. I'm familiar with the game system of Torg and the books and a few other cross realities things. But there's something that's always annoyed me, and that's the notion as portrayed, say, in what's his face? Anyway, in a lot of things, that magic and technology are incompatible. Well, I do science panels at conventions, and that's one of my pet peeves. You see, ignoring, or setting aside for the time being, that yes, magic meant to interfere with technology should work. You can probably have a spell that turns gunpowder into sand. You can have a spell that would turn gun oil into crazy glue. You can have a spell that allows you to hit someone with lightning will probably interfere with radio reception. But the actual use of magic, by magic, as in just magic, not specific, where there is not a specific reason why it should interfere, should not mess with technology. Now, the reason for it is actually is obvious from the it was obvious to me when I thought about it. Basically, there are laws of nature. The laws of nature, that science is basically working out what those laws are. And you could have different rules for different universes, different universal constants, and all kinds of cool stuff like that. But magic kind of has to respect those current constants, and anything in the realm of laws of nature's that gets, anything that stops technology working would actually have to be working on the chemical or physical level, mostly chemical. And anything that messes chemistry so badly that gunpowder doesn't work will stop you breathing or stop you thinking. Well, basically, that's basically going to kill you. There is no way you can change the way chemistry work sufficiently to break a gun or a car or anything of the sort without changing the laws of chemistry so badly that you can't live. And okay, so back to Harry Potter world. Now we know a few things about that world, which allows me to say quite clearly, or to bet quite clearly, that technology works fine in that world. Now, first of all, most people in the Potterverse are unaware of the fact that magic exists. That should be a hint. High technology works just fine. Dudley had his computer games, his own computer, TV works. There's all kinds of references to TVs and that sort of stuff. The first proof that technology works at Hogwarts is the fact that at the time of the book, a cheap watch, and that's the only kind of watch Harry would have, would be digital. And his watch works just fine at Hogwarts until he destroys it by drowning it, but it works just fine until then. Then there's Colin Creevy's camera, which works just fine, and as a bonus, he's been told of the potion he should use instead of boring chemical stuff to get the moving pictures. So, what we have, electronics work just fine, and from the point of view of the principles involved, a digital watch and a computer are the exact same thing, except that one of them is a lot dumber. Then mechanical, electromechanical, most likely, for Kevin's, for the watch, for the camera, also works. We know that a car functioned as a car quite nicely after having been enchanted beyond belief by that lunatic Arthur Weasley. But mechanically, the car was not affected by the fact that it was enchanted to be, large enough to sit everyone from a bus, or fly, or turn invisible. Yeah, you know, it's serious magic there. Then, number four, Privet Street, was a very heavily magically protected house. I mean, to the point that Voldemort couldn't have hired the Mafia to bomb the place. Okay, it was a very specialized, subtle spell, but it was there, and high technology stuff worked just fine. I mean, Harry was whining about the fact that he got the rare chance to actually play with the computer games when it was left there, which is like incredibly rare. Then you've got 12 Grimmauld Place. Again, a massively enchanted building, and the neighbors never noticed, never had any serious problems with their things. Now, okay, I'm kind of deciding that's the case, but they couldn't possibly not know. Well, they could possibly not notice, but it would be a bit of a strange thing if, like, TV wouldn't work in their apartments. That would make not noticing a bit tricky. Although possible to not notice, but still, it would be. It probably would break a few muggles. Then, of course, you've got the Leaky Cauldron, which has like a portal to a missing couple of streets, and again, nothing noticeable about it. And of course, cars in front and all the stuff. Now, the tricky bit would be for fancy high technology and computer stuff. Now, the watch proves that it should work. Now, working at Hogwarts itself is a little trickier, but the thing is, of course, that smartphones were invented after the story ends. Well, okay, the flash forward would probably involve something of the sort, but now, nowadays, as I said, well, I'm confident with this, that computerized stuff would work now at Hogwarts. The two next problems is getting a cell phone signal and internet access. Cell phone, I believe not, because the system involves a lot of equipment, which would be difficult to explain for a lot of Muggle support for the whole distance. Now, this is kind of iffy as a problem, but it requires regular maintenance, and it would be fairly easy to notice. Now, if there was an actual need for it, it probably could be done. Remember that Hogwarts, although meant to be hidden from Muggles, isn't exactly a top secret installation. It's a large private thing. It's a bloody big castle in the middle of nowhere, but it's also pretty close to Hogsmeade, and of course half the wizards in England at least have gone there, so they know where it is. So you'd probably need a Muggle board technician to take care of the cell towers, but still, they're a bit tricky to hide from everyone, and most, well, grown-up wizards have, it's a bit dubious. They haven't really got a need for a cell phone, although they might want. However, Hogsmeade is, well, probably the only place that doesn't really need cell phones, because, well, they're useful if you're dealing with the Muggle world. They're convenient wizard to wizard, but their main use is to live in Muggle society. Hogsmeade is the place that probably doesn't. So that's why I'm thinking no phone signal. As to internet, the question is, how serious the Muggle Studies classes are, and do the, because starting after 2000s, you're starting to get Muggle-born students showing up who have had access to internet for a couple of years, and they're showing up to a school where there's no internet. Is it going to be a riot for the first couple of years? Probably not. But the cell phone generation? The smartphone generation, sorry, will probably start wanting to get some kind of net access, even if it's only the ability to email Muggle parents. And I'm thinking eventually there may be an internet connection available at Hogwarts, but because of course one set of cables, fiber optics most likely, is probably a little bit, it's easier to hide than a series of cell towers. And, well, although it would be bloody expensive unless they go creative. Now, the fact is they've got, if you remember, the Wizard Wireless System exists. So they could do something like that. Basically, super-duper extra incredibly range Wi-Fi instead. There's all kind of fun technologies involved there, which, I'm not sure. That one, I'm less sure, but it's also getting into the section, the weakest section of the Potterverse. Which is basically the interaction between the magical and muggle society. And now, what we're seeing is how people are dealing with Hogwarts itself. And we have a few looks at the actual magical community, which is either around the school, or, well, some running around with a phoenix, and all. The problem is that we never see the general population. And, of course, the Hogwarts schooling is a huge problem if anyone actually wants to leave magical society. I mean, education-wise, it sucks. Well, like, for instance, they've got a lot of homework, a lot of reports and papers to write. And so, when do they learn how to write a paper? Which is normally quite a few years of schooling. You'd expect that Muggle studies would actually be a mandatory program for a couple of years. Because Hogsmeade is a village. I mean, okay, most wizards can probably avoid... Okay, well, that's the next part. There were a lot of people loose. Okay, go back to the opening chapter. Vernon Dudley, Mr. Vernon. Shoot. All right. So Uncle Vernon, in the opening chapter, notices a lot of weirdos in funny clothes. Now the reason he notices all the lots of weirdos in funny clothes is that a bunch of wizards went out celebrating without actually bothering to wear a muggle disguise. They had a really good reason to celebrate, but they did leave without paying attention to the regular issues. Now, the only other time that we hear about wizards trying to pass as muggle-ish is either lunatics like Arthur Weasley or the couple of hardcore never bother with muggles ermits that caused problem at the Quidditch Cup. Now we also see it from the point of view of the people in charge of troubleshooting. And that means that we see all the weirdos. Now, if there were 1% of people who really, really never bothered to... Well, actually, 1% is enough that never really made it to school as a possibility. And out of the thousands going to the anyway, 1% of thousands is still a couple hundred people doing stupid stuff. When you're doing site security, you will notice. Those 100 people, and just skip over the tale of the thousands and thousands of people who could actually pass. Anyway, and of course, it made for a really funny couple of funny scenes and fun harassment and all that. But the idea of those scenes were not to demonstrate a society, but just, well, be a funny scene. Anyway, that's getting into the meandering part. But technologically, it should work. There's no excuse. And the question is, did the board decide that it was or wasn't worth the cost to get a T1 to the school? Or probably better than that by now, but... And of course, wizards are traditionally, but again, not exactly on the bleeding edge of stuff. Usually because if they really want something, they can find a magical solution to it rather than wait for someone to build it. And if they can't make it themselves, they can probably buy it from somebody else who does magic. So, probably a few years behind. It's also a matter of the way they are portrayed as being rather conservative as far as, getting stuff. And that makes timing a bit tricky, but we're dealing with, 20 years later, so by now the decision should be made. And of course, glasses. Why would wizards actually wear glasses? If you check the way the magic seems to work, healing allows you to fix something that's actually broken, torn, ripped, or something of the sort. With glasses, when you actually have to wear glasses, that's not the problem. The problem is that it doesn't quite work to write. It's a lack of exercise type of a problem, mostly. There are issues that could probably be corrected, but yeah, there is nothing actually broken that needs fixed for most issues. I mean, especially the typical nearsightedness. So the spell wouldn't know what to fix. And then, of course, the next problem is what happens if you mess it up. And then there's the fact that most spells are not permanent, or they don't seem to be permanent, except when funny. And which means that if there was a spell to fix your vision, you'd have to renew it a couple of times a day. And, well, by the time you can actually do the spell, which is by the time you're 16, you're probably used to wearing the damn glasses anyway. So it wouldn't be a big deal. You probably wouldn't go to the bother, except in cases where you'd really want to be wearing... Well, muggles would be wearing contacts. That's possibly the kind of occasion a wizard could use a spell for. It, as again, probably temporary. And the risk of mucking it up. And, of course, the difficulties of self-modification, which is, well, you go ask Donks. It's in the really hard stuff. So it can probably be done, but it's probably not worth the bother. On the other hand, there is one spell that bothers me. I can't remember what it was called. That's the spell Hermione uses to protect Harry's glasses from the rain. Now, that is something everyone should be casting on their clothes all the time. Oh, well, that's me. Anyway, so hopefully you've enjoyed this wandering reasoning. If anyone can find a massive flaw with it, feel free to grab me on Facebook and bring it up. I expect there isn't anything... Well, I probably misquoted something somewhere, but I'm pretty sure of this. Of course, it's completely pointless information. but hey, them were good books, and them are good movies, and there's more coming. So I'll be looking forward to those.